Well, as we've been going through the book of Nehemiah, we saw in our last study that there is a revival that has occurred. People have responded as a result of hearing God's word, responded as a result of the reading of God's word and the conviction that came and the repentance that occurred and signing a covenant as far as we will follow him. And then we see that we on this side are so blessed in that we live under a new covenant in which he secures and causes us to continue in because he's a covenant keeper, even though we're covenant breakers. In chapter 11, you see that there's this multitude of people, and it gives details of all those that have now moved back into the city, a list of name after name after name, those that have come back into Jerusalem, because prior to the walls being built, it wasn't a situation that was secure for them. There wasn't literally thousands and thousands of people that would have been living in that particular region, or tens of thousands of people, because it would have been they would have been just sitting ducks up there without a wall, without any kind of protection. And so now there's been so many people that have moved back in. We see a city being built. And we come into chapter 12. And I have a handout for you that's there in your bulletin, so you may want to grab that, because we're just going to focus on a couple of verses here. Come back into the city. People have committed themselves to walking in the ways of God, according to God's word. But we see what's taking place here is dedication of the walls. Dedication of that wall that's there in Jerusalem. We do similar things now as far as you would dedicate a building at times. New building that you get and you go and dedicate it as unto the Lord. We see here in Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27, it says, "Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites and all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and singing, with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps." Incredible scene that's taking place. It's like a parade that's occurring. They're singing, and they're singing loudly, and they're just praising and giving thanks. They've called the priests of all the Levite tribes. They've come together, and at this particular point, they are dedicating the walls to the Lord. These things are consecrated to him. They are sacred. They are given to him. It is to be used totally and completely for his glory. In Nehemiah 12, verse 42, there it says, "The singers sang loudly with Jezrehiah, the director. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off." What a picture there. Singing that's occurring that is so loud and with such great joy that everybody's rejoicing. Even in distances far off, they're hearing the singing that's occurring. Christianity specifically is one of the only religions that singing occurs. You see it in Judaism as well. You see it at this particular time. But we have something to sing about. Not only to sing about, but to sing with joy. You see other religions where there's prayers that go forth, or they're there and they recite the same chants over and over again. But not singing with joy. Smiles on their faces. Joy in their hearts. I picture landing in this place called Mariobai in Sudan. Landed up there, and we circled around this village for several minutes and just saw that every hut had been burned to the ground. The militia, the Muslim militia, had come into this area that our particular group, Safe Harbor, had been to so many times, and preached the gospel and the church was strong and built up. And everything was burned to the ground. I remember one of the people I was with said, "It looks like the face of the moon down there." And it really did. There was nothing. And we landed, and first we had to make it sure that it was secure. And we didn't see anybody down there. Landed, and someone had come out to the airstrip, had been injured. Another person had come out and said, "We are attacked." You could still see that it had just been burned. And they showed us areas where there was a tree stump, and I could just picture the bloodstains that were there and the bullet holes that were on it where people had been executed. Another area where there was just these thorns, these bushes with thorns that were set up where they had held people captive. And another person had come up that had a bullet hole through their leg. And we said, "Where is everybody?" And they said, they're hiding. Everybody's hiding right now. Everybody's afraid to come out." And after maybe, 15 minutes to a half hour time went by, I could hear singing in the background, far away, but I could hear singing. And it got louder and louder as the minutes went by. And it got to the point where I could hear what they were singing. They were singing the song in English, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. It was loud. Joy. I looked in the distance. I could see the church. Hundreds of people marching, walking into the village. They'd seen the plane circle around. And so they came out from their hiding and they were singing, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And we sat underneath this big tree, studied from God's word, listened to them worship. And I remember the leader there, this particular group of people, I don't know if he was a leader of that tribe in that area or not, but he said, "They could take our cooking utensils and throw them and burn them, and they could take the dead bodies and throw them in the wells to poison the water system. They could burn everything that they have, that we have." But I remember him saying underneath that tree, "But they can't take Christ from us. No matter what, they can't take Christ from us." And he said, "I would rather have what we have now as Christians being persecuted than to be where we were at a short time ago where we were worshiping the trees." And you think of that and you think, who else could say that but someone that has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Loud singing, even in the midst of trials, singing, and not only singing, but singing, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Christians sing, and we sing loud. We praise Him. With everything that is within us, we praise Him because He's worthy of such praise. Here in this section, you see these people, and they've seen the result of what God had recently done. And now, they respond with praise. I don't know, real quick, if someone wants to turn the air conditioning on, it might be nice. It's not bad now, but could get worse. It's like 1,000 degrees outside. So we look on here and we see that what's taking place here is there's the dedication of the wall. This is given unto the Lord. It's given to Him. This is something that occurred in the Old Testament frequently where they would consecrate. They would dedicate certain things. They would consecrate certain things. They would say, "This is the Lord's. This belongs to Him. We are giving this totally and completely over to Him." And this is something that was taken to be very serious. Given to the Lord, the things of the temple. Sometimes it was just utensils that were given. They were made of gold or they were made of silver. And they were given and said, "This is consecrated to the Lord." If you remember in the book of Daniel, when we study through the book of Daniel, you see that in chapter 5, you can turn there if you'd like, but in chapter 5 of the book of Daniel, we see this great party that's taking place. Belshazzar, the king, made this feast for 1,000 of his lords. So you can picture this. This is where you would have had the hanging gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the world. History says that they had trained peacocks to carry hors d'oeuvres to people. The pillars that were there were made of like they were shaped like elephants. They have 1,000 of their lords that are there. Huge party occurring. They're drinking wine. And Belshazzar, who as we look at him, it's interesting because the liberals a little over 100 years ago were saying, this guy never existed. If you look at all the history, he never existed. This is an error that's in Scripture. There was never someone named Belshazzar that was there. Must just be a mistake in Scripture. You get to be real brave or dumb to be able to say something like that, because what you find is God always proves that they're wrong in time. They found these artifacts just in southern Iraq there, and it had Belshazzar's name there. And it quotes him as the son of the king. And you look at history there, and it shows that he was the son of the king, but the king was one that kept traveling out of the area, out of the country, and he was given this particular area to reign. And you'll see in this particular text that he offers Daniel the third highest position in government. And people thought, why the third highest position? And the reason was because in all reality, he had the second position. His dad had the first. He was offering Daniel the third highest position. But now it's been well documented that this person exists. And this is not an error that's here as far as Belshazzar being here. Just a little trivia for you. You look and he's there and there's this party occurring. And his wives are there. His concubines are there. They're all there for this great party, and he says, bring out those gold vessels that were taken from the temple of the house of God that had been in Jerusalem. Those cups that we could drink from. Those ones that nobody has ever done, but let's go get those cups that were dedicated to the Lord, that were consecrated to the Lord. Let's go get them, and we're gonna take that wine and we're gonna drink from those cups that came from the temple in Jerusalem. Let's get them. So they go and they get them. They drink wine and praise the gods of gold and silver and bronze and iron and wood and stone. They're worshiping all of these false gods and they're drinking from the cups that had been dedicated to the Lord, given to him in the temple. And at that hour, as they're drinking from these cups and their pride, there's a hand that comes out of nowhere and starts writing on the wall. It tells us that Belshazzar's countenance changed. His thoughts troubled him. The joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. Basically, it means he was scared to death. He's looking at this hand. I mean, you would be too. You're sitting there and there's a hand that appears and starts writing on the wall. Obviously, it would make you panic. The king cried out and said, bring the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, bring whoever reads the writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck. He'll be the third ruler in the kingdom. Someone tell me what it is that this hand has just written on the wall. Finally, after no one can interpret it, the name Daniel comes up. Daniel can interpret things. They bring him out, and Daniel says to him, You look at verse 18. O king, most high God, gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. And then Daniel says to Belshazzar, but you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew this. You knew all this. You knew that God had judged Nebuchadnezzar, and now you're here and you're saying, take the vessels that were given to God, dedicated to God, take them, let's drink wine in the midst of our party. He says in verse 23, and you lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the God of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which you do not see or hear or know, and the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways you have not glorified. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written. And so he goes on to interpret the writing that was written, saying, number one, it says, God has numbered your kingdom. It's finished. Your kingdom is done. It's finished. It also says you've been weighed in the balances, and you have been found wanting. And lastly, it says, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Because of your sin, because you took what was dedicated to the Lord and did something unholy with it, everything has been removed. And it tells us that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom about 62 years old. That very night. The very night that he took those things that were given to God and said, I'll use it for my own purposes. No fear of God. No fear of what was dedicated unto the Lord. God judged him. And so we look at this and we see here something significant taking place in Nehemiah chapter 12. These walls have been built. They're there to secure us. But it's God who ultimately secures us, not these walls. Let's dedicate these walls, what's been built in such a short period of time. Let's dedicate this. This is the Lord's. This belongs to him. All that we have, it belongs to him. The walls that we have built, we're not to be proud of. It is God that's done it. We will dedicate these walls to the Lord. What about for us today? How does this apply to us? What is it that has been dedicated to God today? What is it that is considered to be holy for us at Reverence Bible Church in the year 2008? What is it that has been dedicated to the Lord? Well, it's not just the walls that are around us. It is ourselves that have been dedicated to the Lord. I wanted to focus on this because you look and you think, what is it that is holy? What is that it that has been consecrated to God? What are those vessels that are for honor? It's us. Let's look at the text here, the various verses that I put down here, and we'll see how the dedication that took place in Nehemiah today, we look at and we see that it occurs within ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We look and we think, what is it that is given to him? Is it a certain vessel? Something that is to be that which we would eat from or drink from? Is it walls? And we look and we see, no, the New Testament model is, no, it is you. You have been given to God. You are dedicated to God. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? The temple was such that they were so specific as far as how they built it, where it was built, consecrating all these things to the Lord. Everything that was in it was considered holy. And yet, as believers, we see that God says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. What an awesome passage there. You are not your own. You were purchased. To say you are not your own means that you have been consecrated. You have been dedicated to the Lord. You're not your own. You have been consecrated. You've been dedicated to God. You were purchased. You were bought at a price. Your body and your spirit belong to God. You belong to Him. Just as you would never desecrate anything in the temple of God, not even utensils or cups or the Ark of the Covenant, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. You've been given to God. You belong to Him. He purchased you with His own precious blood. You were purchased through Christ. The thought of that Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon, says, in light of this thought that you have been purchased by God, he says, quote, let it operate upon you. Let it dominate your entire nature. Let it govern your body, your soul, your spirit. And from this day, let it be said of you, not only that you are a man of good morals and respectable conduct, but this, above all things, that you are a man filled with love to Him who bought you, a man who lives for Christ and knows no other passion. Let it be something that operates upon you. Let it be something that makes you truly think this morning. Not simply that you're a man or that you're a woman. Not simply that you're someone with good morals, you go to church, you have respectable conduct, but that you are someone who has been filled with love because of Him who bought you. You live for Him. You know no other passion. You have been consecrated. You have been dedicated. Your body has been given to Him. Your spirit has been given to Him. You belong to Him. You in your entirety belong to the Lord our God. Let's look at the next passage, Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. For you've been dedicated to Him. He purchased you. You have been set apart for this at this particular time for holiness. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. You are the temple of God, and that the Holy Spirit is inside you. Therefore, the way that we ought to think about ourselves should be so different than the way anybody in the world thinks about themselves. Been dedicated unto Him. We belong to Him. We're not our own. We were bought with a price. And so Paul says, therefore, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Present your bodies, who you are, everything, as a living sacrifice, saying, I'm not my own. I was bought with the price. I belong to you. I take the entirety of who I am and say, God, it's all yours. All of it is yours. May it be holy, may it be acceptable unto you. But it says here that you're to do this by the mercies of God. You even depend upon Him to bring you to this point. This isn't a message necessarily to say, okay, from this point on, dedicate yourselves to God. But looking at it more so of saying, He has done it. He purchased you. He has consecrated, dedicated you, set you apart for God. It's what God has done for you. He has made you from this place to being in a place of holiness. The temple of God. You belong to Him. Bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God through your bodies, just as you would glorify God in the temple of God, just as you would glorify God in the way that you use the utensils, the way that you would use those cups. They weren't to be used by Belshazzar for the point of drinking at a party. It was given to God and belonged to Him. Likewise, by the mercy of God, present yourselves to Him as a living sacrifice. Look at Romans 14, verse 7. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose again, and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord both of both the dead and the living. If you live, for us as Christians, we live to the Lord. Not our own anymore. We've been bought with a price. We belong to Him. If we die, we die to the Lord. Once again, we see that we belong to God, the entirety of who we are, our thoughts. Our thoughts, they belong to Him. Our feelings, our passions, our hands, what we do with our hands, they belong to Him. They're not to be used to get on the internet to see bad stuff. It's not the purpose of the hands. They've been given to God. They've been consecrated to Him, dedicated to Him. It's not for that stuff. I was listening to R.C. Sproul and John MacArthur, two of the biggest, most well-known preachers in this day, most highly respected, at least by me. I know a lot of other people. Huge ministries. Neither of those two men have ever even been on the internet. Never been on the internet. They have huge internet ministries. Never even been on it. And I don't know if it's just that they're computer illiterate or if it's just I don't want to have any chance of getting involved with any of the junk that is on the internet. It's possible to live, if that is a temptation, without even going on the internet. But looking and saying, I don't want to use my hands for things like that. I don't want to use my hands for the junk that's in the world. I have been purchased. I belong to Him. I've been consecrated to Him. I've been made holy just as He is holy. It's been done. It's occurred. Why would I ever want to go back to the things in which I have been redeemed from? It's occurred. Our hands, they belong to Him. Our feet, where our feet take us, they belong to Him. Our eyes, what we look at. Our voices, the things that come out of our mouths. It belongs to Him. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your bodies. Therefore, glorify God with your tongues. The words that come forward out of your mouth, may it be glorifying to God. Our ears, what we listen to. Our time. How we manage our time. Our time, the time that you have. It's not your own. You see, everything about you, everything that you consider, this is me, this is my life, this is everything that I have, this is everything that I am. You could stop there and say, no, just as that wall was dedicated to God, likewise you, your body, in your entirety, your entire being, it has been given over to Him. You were bought with the price. God says, therefore glorify me with your body, with everything that you are, your time. Redeem the time, God tells us. Using the time for God's glory, taking full advantage of every minute that the Lord gives us. Jonathan Edwards resolved to live with all my might while I do live. Resolved to ask myself, would I be doing this if it was the last hour of my life? Would I do this if it was the last hour of my life? Thinking that way, saying, how is my time used? If it is holy, if it is given over to God, am I using my time for those purposes? Our possessions. Not the mentality of, look what I got. Look what I bought. It is mine. It belongs to me. I give him my tithes and offerings. That is for him. That belongs to him. But everything else, mine. Mine. You look and you see it. God said, no, it's all his. Everything that we have, it's his. My possessions, everything that I am, it is his. It's to be used for his glory. My house, for the glory of God. Car, for the glory of God. May it take me to places that honor him. My cell phone, to be used for his glory. Building people up, encouraging them. Our struggles, our fears, they're his. He purchased everything that we could think of with reference to our bodies and our spirits and all that we identify ourselves with or think to be our own. It all belongs to Christ. He's purchased it with his own precious blood, and we ought to think like that. We ought to think, God, it's yours. Everything. My education, whatever it is yours. It belongs to you. It is holy. It has been dedicated to you. I have been dedicated to you. I have been consecrated to you. You purchased me. You have set me apart to be holy, to be different. I'm not my own anymore, not at all. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:15. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live or should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. He died for all of you. He died for you. He carried that cross till he could not carry it any longer. He went up on that mount, nails driven through his hands, through his feet, crown of thorns placed upon his head, mocked, spit upon, separated from the fellowship of the Father. Sin of us placed upon him. He became sin for us. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Paul brings us right to the foot of the cross. Right to the foot of the cross to see that he died for us, therefore you are no longer, as a believer, to live for yourself. You're no longer to live according to your way or as if it belongs to you. But looking and saying, at that particular point, through the redemption that has come from Christ, from him purchasing me and consecrating me and dedicating me unto himself, giving me holiness, I am no longer my own. I no longer am to live for myself, but for him who died and rose again. I live for him. Look at Romans 6, verse 12. We see it repeated again. Romans 6, 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Your members, your body parts, all that you are, God's saying, no longer have sin reign. Don't have it be such where you do what you want on Monday through Sunday morning, and then you have your time for God, and then you go right back to your way again for the rest of the week. No. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. No longer You're no longer a slave to sin. God has set you apart. He's made you holy. He's changed your nature. He's has radically changed everything about you in regeneration. Consecrated unto Him. You belong to Him. No longer a slave to sin, therefore don't obey it in its lust. But present your members, yourselves, who you are to God. You were dead. You were dead in your sins. Dead, dead, dead. Dead in your sins. And God made you alive. He's done a radical thing in each one of us. Made you alive in Him. Just as He rose again from the dead, likewise He has caused us to rise from the death that was there with our sins to being alive in Christ. Forgiven us of all of our sins, made us who were enemies of God now in fellowship with Him. Adoption as sons. He's done that for us. Therefore, present yourselves to God, your members as instruments of righteousness to God. How sweet would it be if we thought that way? This that I have, it belongs to Him. Me and my time, it belongs to Him. How will I glorify God today at this particular job? My job belongs to Him. My kids, they belong to Him. My marriage, it's His. It belongs to Him. Everything that I have, all of it in its entirety belongs to Him. It has been dedicated. It has been consecrated. It has been given totally, completely over to Him. I'm not my own anymore. I belong to Him, every part of me. Present your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. It was in the time of Nehemiah that they had this event. They dedicate the walls, and then they go from there to offering sacrifices. Well, the sacrifice has been paid once and for all. Through the blood of Christ, it's been done, it's been finished. No need for any further sacrifices as far as blood sacrifices are concerned with us. The price has been paid. We have been restored. But then we're told, as a result, by Him, through Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Praising Him. May our members, our mouths, the fruit of our lips be giving thanks to His name. Giving thanks to Him. Praising Him. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, God says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Prayer. Using our lips for prayer. Calling upon Him in the day of trouble. And watching God deliver us, and then we respond by glorifying Him. Because in everything that we are, it all exists for His glory. It belongs to Him and for His glory. First Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Even when you're eating or when you're drinking, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God, because you have been purchased. You've been bought. You've been consecrated. You're set apart. You're different. You're radically different. You belong to Him. So when you eat and when you drink, may it all be to God's glory. Every aspect of your life, I mean, like in the minutiae, the tiniest things, eating and drinking, things that you do on a daily basis, it belongs to Him. How much more in the way that we spend our time and in our families and in our marriages, looking and saying, it all, everything, our businesses, everything, it all belongs to Him. It's His. Set apart. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Can you see that in these texts? And I've put several there to reiterate it, to see the repetition that's there. Can you see that everything that you are belongs to him? I just listed a few of the passages. But you see in Scripture that God says, you belong to him. What a great place to be. You belong to him. He purchased you. You were in slavery, enslaved to sin, and the wages of sin was in death. But he purchased you. With his own precious blood, he purchased you. You were like Gomer there, being there on that platform, naked, covered in sin. And God purchased you. You were dead, and he made you alive. He purchased you. His own precious blood, by his good pleasure, according to his grace, he purchased you. So now you belong to him. And he promises to give you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He promises you that he holds you in his hand. And his Father, who's greater than all, holds you in his hand. And there's no one that can snatch you away. You have an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, doesn't fade away, reserved in heaven, kept by the very power of God, because he purchased you. Therefore, whatever you do in word, in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. And the word of Christ tells us, dwell in you richly, with wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, but with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What do vessels of honor do? They give thanks. They present their members for righteousness. We are made for righteousness. Just as that cup was made for holiness, for things that were to take place in the temple. Likewise, you have been made for the purpose of holiness, righteousness. He has made you that way. Vessels of honor are to sing. We're to sing praises. We're to sing loudly, not half-heartedly. Let him that has breath praise the Lord. Sing. We're to be Christians that sing. Children of God that know that we have been purchased, know that we have been redeemed, know that we have been set apart. And the response ought to be praise. Not just on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week, praise going forth up to God with all that is within us. That's why it's so important for us here at our church to have worshiping and music. I've been at churches before where they are more entertainment oriented, and you go and you listen, and there's people with some beautiful voices, and you go and you listen, and you're like, oh, that's so nice. It's like a concert. We are not to be a concert at church. There's no concerts taking place here. They sing. All of them sing loud, joyfully, excited. That ought to be us. I love. My favorite part of the service is after the preaching of God's word to sit here and just to hear God's people sing. I walk back at the end of the service. I look, there's smiles on your faces. Oh, you mean it from your hearts. Singing that takes place because you know your God. You know what he's done. You know how he's blessed you. You know that everything belongs to him and you're thankful. And the result is praise. Praise that is loud to where it can be heard. The other week there was a bunch of cheerleaders and people out front and they were taking pictures for some calendar of some sort. To make people stumble. And they were, just kidding, I just added that on. But they were there. They're taking pictures. And they could hear us sing in the beginning of the service, and I politely kicked them out of that area and put them over that way. But they say, can you guys do us a favor? Can you leave the doors open so we can hear you singing? We've been listening, and we just want to hear it. What an awesome thing it is to hear God's people praise Him, worshiping Him, with everything that we have, just worshiping Him. And so, in the days of Nehemiah, they sang in such a way that they could be heard, it tells us, afar off. Afar off, they could be heard. May that be us this morning. Heard afar off as those, that was a hard thing to say together, as those that have been redeemed by Christ. If those people in the days of Nehemiah had reasons to sing loudly, how much more us, who we ourselves have been dedicated unto Him, made holy for Him, belonging to Him, purchased by His own precious blood. It's worthy of our praise. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we thank You for what You have done, dedicating us unto Yourself, our bodies, our spirit, the entirety of who we are. It all belongs to You. We're not our own. We're purchased with Your own precious blood. And therefore, God, we desire to glorify You with everything that's inside of us. Everything that we are, it belongs to You. The fruit that comes forward from our lips is to be praise unto You. Thank You for purchasing us when we could not purchase ourselves. Thank You for redeeming us when we had no ability to redeem ourselves. Thank You for paying a price that we could never pay. We belong to You, and there we are, and we love to be. For all eternity, we will praise You, and the thought that will come upon our minds from now and forevermore when we praise You will be that we have been redeemed. We were purchased. We belong to You. You made us Your own special people. We once were afar off, but we have been brought near through You, through Your blood, as Your people this morning. May we loudly, wholeheartedly praise You and recognize that we belong to You. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.